Welcome to The Catholic Arsonist. I'm Holy Spirit.
Amen. Okay, we're good. We got our candle going. We got Humphrey
nervous
here.
Nervous about leading this.
Are you nervous?
I am.
Don't be nervous. Just be kind.
I was like, what is that? Oh, it's my shirt.
Just be kind.
Beautiful.
Here we are. It's just us. Just us girls.
Girl power.
Girls just want to have fun.
Ain't that the truth?
That's what we're going to do today. So, welcome back to The Catholic Arsonist.
Here we are.
It's me and Alyssa. No men today. Stick with us. It's a good topic.
Should we preface where the men are? That way people don't freak out.
Yeah. We got rid of all of them.
We just kicked them to the curb. Yeah. No, it's okay. No, Father Andrew couldn't join us today. He's doing well. He's healthy and everything. Most of you probably know Father Yates is sick with COVID. So we would love if you could pray for him. But he also is doing well. So everyone is pretty safe and sound and responding responsibly. So Father Andrew is not here, not because he's also quarantined. No. He's just
busy.
Busy. Because he's down to one man in the rectory. Mm-hmm. So
he's running the show,
folks.
He's running it.
And we're running this show.
We are. We're happy to be here with you.
We are happy. Shane's got a good topic today.
Yeah. Our topic is just living simply and kind of learning to put Christ first in your life over other things. And I am really hot on this topic right now. I'm cleaning out everything because in the Bible study I'm doing right now, Keeping in Balance, we talked about this past week, kind of priorities and how God should be our first priority. And then that also makes me think about last week when we were talking about feasting, and the opposite of feasting is fasting. And so I think that's what started all my I just got to clean it all out.
Yeah.
I'm like, I feasted a lot. Let's fast and get down to what matters most. Mm-hmm. Get rid of all the distractions. So we're going to talk about simple living. And some people like to call it minimalist. I don't really like the term.
I like it less. Yeah.
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 It's not as nice and as rosy as living simply.
How, simply living. How apt too that we are, today is Monday, the feast of St. Francis of Assisi, mm-hmm. who was like the first minimalist, mm-hmm. After Jesus probably.
He's first.
Yeah, no, there were other ascetics before him, but we're just in the spirit of getting smaller to live larger, mm-hmm. I think. So mm-hmm. I'm excited. And too, you know, Shannon just mentioned this idea of priorities, and I think didn't we just do a podcast on priorities a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, it just keeps sticking in my head though.
Right. Yeah, so it's like whenever you sort of reorient your life to put Jesus in the center, one of the things that also sort of begins to change and transform as you get growing relationship with him is the physical things in your life, like the space in which you live also oftentimes transforms because mm-hmm. you yourself are transforming. So mm-hmm. I think it's not just like it's fall time, we need to do some cleaning. Yeah. Like I think, and I can point to this too in your life, Shayna, like you're actually like, I see the ways and just the way you're speaking that you're growing closer to Jesus. So it's cool to see now you're like, oh my gosh, I want my life to reflect that, mm-hmm. you know?
And so. That's what I told Alyssa before this. I was like, I think, I don't know if it's because I got back to Bible study or I've been really trying to pray every day that I'm seeing everything around me is like, so much busyness, mm-hmm. and I'm also trying to focus on what brings me joy. And after some reflection on that, it's being in the present moment. And I can't be in the present moment if I'm constantly looking around and be like, why do we have all this? Like some of the stuff we need.
Yeah.
We need stuff. I have three kids. We need stuff.
Yeah.
Do we need this much stuff?
Right.
Or is it just like something that's weighing down on me and taking away my mindfulness of hanging out with my children?
Mm-hmm.
And my husband and my family and friends and stuff. So I think that's why it's like kicking high gear.
Yeah.
And a lot of things are out of my control right now. So mm-hmm. people tell me I'm in control of what I can get rid of. And they're like, that's why you like it so much right now. I'm like, that might be it.
That might be it.
Hey.
But you're also consenting to that happening too.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm excited. And I hope, you know, you listeners can learn something from this, or maybe it'll kind of spark you into thinking about how you use your time and the things around you, what you surround yourself with.
Yeah. And to, just to add, I don't, I think I live more simply now than I used to, but I am not like Marie Kondo. Okay. Is that her name? Marie Kondo or whatever?
Yeah.
Marie Kondo or something.
What sparks joy?
What sparks joy? Yeah. So I too have things that I'm like very much attached to that I don't need to have. Like I have junk in my spaces, you know? So, by no means are we like speaking from a high horse of anywhere. It's just like, we're on the journey with you. So
exactly.
Yeah.
I'm excited to spark your joy.
Fun.
So I've done some research, and I think one of the main things we have to remember is to live simply, you have to live intentionally. Mm. Like everything you do, like, why are you doing this? We have to be intentional about what we, like, everything, what you choose to eat. Is this going to make you feel better? Is this not going to make you feel better? Mm-hmm. What you choose to watch, and how is that feeling afterwards going to feel? Like if I choose drinking, you know, a gallon of water today over like two Diet Cokes or tea or something, I'm going to feel way better at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So it's just being mindful of the decisions you're making throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
So God gave you your body and your mind. You have to be a good steward of it.
Yeah.
Which is always exciting to think about. We just came off stewardship week too.
Mm-hmm.
And we asked everyone to kind of think about how are you using your time, talent, and treasure. So this is kind of helping you think about how do you use your stuff?
Yeah.
Your mind.
The things that you own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like how are we using it? Is it just there, or is it something we use all the time?
Yeah. I love that word intentional too. It's thrown around so much today that it's sort of just like lost meaning a little bit. So I have the dictionary app on my phone and it's under my faith folder because more often than not, I'm looking up words that have to do with like prayer or things like this. But so I looked up the word intentional today, and the way Shane is using it here, it actually like, it means to, call to mind the meaning of, or the significance of. So like talking about living simply forces you to live intentionally, or you have to live intentionally in order to live simply. It's like to be mindful of what things mean. And I'm on this kick right now, right? With the teens and all the meaning and like providing meaning to the world in a culture that says nothing means anything anymore. Right. But actually just like thinking about what it is I'm doing and why it is I'm doing it, what it is, that this microphone is being used for and why it's here, right? Like we're not like, this microphone in the podcast room isn't considered junk because it's essential to what we're doing here. Mm-hmm. Right. And we use it frequently. Humphrey here, this little,
this little wooden camel
that is sort of the podcast mascot. He's got a nice little hump on his back and a little red like blanket covering him. You can hear him walking now. Yeah. He's, he's non-essential. But we love them.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just like calling to mind what things mean in our spaces. And, I really appreciate that.
Then I think living simply and being more mindful, you're understanding how you're really just trying to fill maybe that pain or that emptiness. I think we've talked about this before with just distractions of social media or going and buying something pretty from the store because it'll make the space just pop a little bit more, which I'm so stuck in this too. And I realized Target likes to send me pop-up ads like, hey, you just went shopping. I think this would work. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's everywhere. This is why I have the urge to go to Target so much.
Mm-hmm.
I try to turn off all the notifications. I guess I forgot that one.
Right.
So yeah, I feel like today, with so much going on, we're always just trying to fill that void with another distraction, especially if you take your kids shopping. You're like, your kid is going to stop talking to you if you get this pack of gum. Okay, here's some gum.
Yeah.
But did that help? No. 5 minutes later, they're always asking for something else.
Right.
So not to feed into it, but realize the distractions. And I've told my kids, okay, we're not spending we're not getting anything else until like December.
Yeah.
When it's Christmas.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to ask you to get rid of a whole bunch of stuff. Mm-hmm. They're like, no. So this may be painful for my children. I'm so sorry. But I think it's time to slim down a little bit.
Yeah. No, that's touching something that's, I mean, that just that simple example of with Target and the gum. I think most parents can relate to that. But the need to try to, or to attempt to escape sort of the, to distract ourselves with just anything, I think is really prevalent today. Because yeah, there's, I think, I don't know that any practicing Christian who has a relationship with the Lord would disagree that like there's an ache in our chest for something. There's this hole in our heart that only Jesus can fill. And so when we are maybe far from him or, things come up that are painful to take out of that hole, we want to just like shove everything in there that we can, whether it's like relationships or distracting ourselves with another vacation or distracting ourselves with, I don't know, like buying more material goods. Like mm-hmm. we attempt to run from that ache because to face it, I think, is really difficult. But that's where like abundant life is found. Mm-hmm. And I remember really considering this towards the end of my college years, but I just had this kind of image in my head of these two types of conversions that I think the Lord was sort of inviting me to, or at least at some point in my life had invited me to. And the first one was when all of the things in my life, the people, relationships, the stuff that I have in my home, you know, in my bedroom, like that when I undergo a conversion towards Christ, like from paganism essentially towards Christ, those things in my life change. Like I remember being like buying all the Blessed Is She stuff mm-hmm. and switching the type of decor I had in my room and getting rid of my Xbox and like all these things, right? And filling it with pictures of saints and all the stuff, right? But then I think now what the Lord is sort of inviting me into is this deeper transformation of no, I don't just want you to like look like a Catholic exteriorly because of the stuff that you have. Like I want you to imitate me by having nothing. And that's a harder thing to do, right? Like it's mm-hmm. easy for me to have the really cute Catholic Instagram, which I don't anymore, sadly. But it's harder for me to like sort of renounce that and not be addicted to social media and face this emptiness, you know? Mm-hmm. So I just think, yeah, I love this topic. I think it's a real invitation for us Christians to go deeper than just sort of the exteriors. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that has anything to do with what you're talking about, but not allowing the distractions to weigh us down or to distract us.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think of it perfectly. And another thing we have to think about of living it intentionally is thinking of, well, why do we have so much stuff? Mm-hmm. And being a parent, I always want to make I want my children to have a good life. Mm-hmm. And so you're like, oh, well, you know, they'll be happy if they have this, or I don't want them to miss out because we didn't do something. Mm-hmm. So we have that fear of like missing out on opportunities with people or our children missing out. And then we also have the fear of not being accepted if we don't have something.
Right.
So we're like, well, we'll get that. Mm-hmm. And then on the outside,
we'll fit in. Yeah.
On the inside, you're like, I still don't feel comfortable here. I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But just that item makes you feel like you fit in more.
Right.
So that's another thing to think about.
Yeah.
Like, don't let that fear of missing out or not fitting in get you to buy something that maybe you wouldn't usually buy because you're mm-hmm. just, you're putting on a front.
Yeah.
But with the kid thing, it's hard because you just want your kids to have the best.
Yeah.
You got to just stay mindful. You want them to be able to appreciate things more. Mm-hmm. So if you keep just giving them things, are they going to appreciate everything that you're giving to them?
Right.
Gosh, just like yourself. Tricky. Yeah.
I'm sort of glad in this moment that I don't have children. I've never stood at a checkout counter with children, but I'm oftentimes a child in and of my own right. So
right? Like, ooh.
I'm having this conversation in my head of like, come on, you should buy this, mom. You should buy this. You have the credit card, Alyssa. You should buy this. And then me saying to myself, no, you don't need that.
Exactly.
We don't need
it. You don't need it. So we just need to give ourselves a reality check in the checkout line. Like, ooh, right. Do I need that?
Right.
Need that?
But I think that touches on something too. Like, yeah, I was just thinking about this earlier, but if there's anything, living simply or the inability to live simply kind of stems from, I would probably guess that it's just vanity. And not in the hard and fast way of like, you have to look like, I don't know, Paris Hilton or something. Mm-hmm. And like I mean, she's old,
Paris
but
Hilton. That's what we went with.
I just went with like the most materialistic. I mean, the okay. Kardashians, sure. Yes, maybe that's more timely. But I don't mean vanity in that sense, but just vanity in the sense of like, I'm constantly thinking about how others will perceive me. Like, will I be seen as capable? Will I be seen as someone who like has my stuff together, has my family in order, that we're put together, and that I am the picture of faith and sports and suburbia.
You have it all together.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. And really, like, it wasn't until... And that's the temptation for all Americans, I think, is to be put together and to be capable and to kind of chase your dreams. And capitalism sort of aids that, but that's a whole other conversation. I think Ruth Burroughs, I bring this up often, a spiritual writer, she has this line that the human heart must be broken open in order to receive God. And I think when we sort of like clutter our lives with all these things around us, whether it is the relationships or looking the right way or saying the right things or having the perfect house, they're sort of like these barriers to allowing people to get in and to break our heart open. But it's actually in understanding our poverty and in receiving our poverty that, and coming to terms with it, honestly, that we're able to allow God in when we have a lack of something. So if we're never lacking, if we have everything that we need at all times, the Lord can't enter into that. Mm-hmm. No one can really.
That's true.
Yeah,
it's true. And to touch on Alyssa's point that nowadays we're always falling to like, we have to be so efficient. We have to be so efficient. We have to do 5 things at once and like 10 things at once. And if we're only doing one thing, mm-hmm. we're not being efficient.
Okay.
And I could tell you from like my life these days, like we're just doing too much.
Yeah.
And I was hearing in my head, like, you can only do so many things well. So why don't you just pick one thing?
Yeah.
So multitasking seemed like a great idea at one point. Mm-hmm. That's what people were pushing. Multitask. Mm-hmm. And then you find out, like, I started making lunch for my kids. And then 5 minutes later, I'm filling up the water. And Greg walks up the stairs like, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
Like, here's something you started. And now you're over here. I'm like... multitasking, duh.
Saving so much time.
Exactly. And then he just follows behind me, just finishing everything. Nice. So we make a great pair. We're just falling idle to being efficient and multitasking. But when you're also multitasking, you're not being in the present because
mm-hmm.
your mind is so many places at once.
Yeah.
Do you feel this way? Do you multitask?
I was hoping you want to ask me this because as you were talking, I was thinking like...
You were thinking about something else.
No. I was thinking, when was the last time that I've been juggling multiple things at once? And I think people are going to be probably appalled by this, but maybe they can relate. I'm like one of the most distracted drivers I know. I don't think I drive poorly. Like I don't think anyone feels unsafe in the car with me, and I'm less distracted when there's someone with me.
Mm-hmm.
But there's been times where I'm like eating lunch in the car, which isn't unheard of,
but
listening to a podcast and driving down the road, looking at the maps on my car while my email is open on mm-hmm. my phone. Okay.
You're like,
yeah. And it's just like, I'm trying to be an octopus with all my mm-hmm. like hands on everything. And literally, like, it's had to be an out loud conversation to myself before, like, Alyssa, you are going to die in this car mm-hmm. if you don't stop one of these things
yes.
right now. And I think that's sort of a spiritual analogy too. Like, you are going to burn out and not be able to function because mm-hmm. You're not completing anything. Like, your lunch is half eaten, eaten, and
you're not taking care of your body because you're not finishing your lunch all the
right.
way.
Sorry, that's my one. This happens every time. But also efficiency in terms of not just even multitasking, but even in the way that we try to go about one task, choosing the most efficient way actually isn't always living simply. Like, in terms of, how should I say this? In terms of like putting humans first, like medical processes and like getting an ambulance to from one place to another, like that should be an efficient like goal. We should strive for efficiency there, mm-hmm. because people are at risk. But when it comes to like me going throughout my day, if efficiency is my number one goal, that's pretty inimical to the gospel. Like I can't think of any moment in the scriptures where Jesus took the most efficient route. Like in fact, like thinking about the woman at the well, like he had to go through Samaria, and it's like, no, he didn't. That wasn't the most efficient route. And in fact, like he probably wouldn't have because of the cultural stipulations, but he wanted to see this woman. Like he was always, the Lord is always person focused and human oriented and humanity first. And so I'm even thinking about like in my striving to live a simple life, it might be a temptation to sort of cut out all the inefficiencies that I have. But most of the inefficiencies in my life are like of human origin. Mm-hmm. And it's because of the people in my life, right? But if I cut out all those people to make my routine more efficient or getting from point A to point B more efficient, it's like I'm missing what Shane is saying, like the present moment, like the people in my life are the present moment, right? Mm-hmm. Like it would be much more efficient for you to leave your girls in the car while you go into Target to get mm-hmm. things. But it's like, number one, I think that's probably illegal in the hot weather, but also it's like you can't just not take your kids with you because they're inefficient, mm-hmm. right? And I think that's also the temptation. Like when we accumulate all these things in our lives, we think that we are full based on that which we have rather than being filled up by those whom we encounter. Mm-hmm. And I think, yeah, having a lot of things and not living into our essential poverty, it really invites the temptation to avoid the poor. It invites the temptation to avoid those that aren't like us, that don't have the things which we have, or who don't sort of subscribe to our same, I don't know, ideologies or opinions on things. And so it's so much more than just not having clear headspace because my desk is messy. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, do I need all these things in my life which give me the illusion that I'm fulfilled when in actuality, like I'm not. And if I live into that, if I live into that reality that I'm not being fulfilled by all of these things, I can more readily like serve and be free to enter into the lives of others who are like physically poor, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Or spiritually poor, or whatever that looks like. So yeah, efficiency is a huge thing for me. And I think it's such a temptation for me because I want to be capable and like I really desire to be on time for things and all everything, you know, but even suffering the little deaths of this person made me late because I had to have this conversation after mass, you mm-hmm. know, and it's like, yeah, but you were present to another human being who wanted to speak with you mm-hmm. and you were 2 minutes late to your meeting, you know? So I desire a less efficient world, but I think it's like anti-American almost. Yeah. So it's a hard thing, but it's, yeah. Are we mm-hmm. Americans or are we Catholics first?
Yeah. I think we're sons and daughters of the King.
Amen,
first.
Amen, sister.
That's what we had to remember.
Yeah, that's right.
So you touched on this a little bit, but that we're also going for comfort over like suffering. Mm. It's like, it's so much easier to, I did this a lot last week. So much easier to just order dinner someplace else than mm-hmm. actually give my kids a homemade meal.
Yeah. Because
like one, we were busy, but I was just like, oh
yeah,
that takes a whole bunch more planning part of my time. So I think since we're diving into the comfort of everything, we're not having that suffering, which right. in a lot of instances we grow in suffering. Mm. And, a lot of people have conversions and suffering. Yeah. And if we're not allowing ourselves to do that, then we're missing like that precious time we mm-hmm. could have watching Jesus work on us and God fulfill us. So that's something to think about, yeah. you know? So we talked about feasting last week. What if we talk about fasting and like, you know, just maybe give up some things and feel that suffering. And when you are feeling that suffering of, a lot of people think fasting as in food these days, like intermittent sure. fasting. So if you're doing that and you're like, oh, I'm so hungry, it's not time for me to eat yet, well, take that suffering and pray.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because, yeah, that hunger pang is opening your eyes to, okay, I need to maybe take some time to be thankful for something, mm-hmm. or, you know, kind of put it in there or think of somebody else that might need those prayers at one time.
Yeah. This is so timely. I'm so grateful you brought this up. I will admit, like, I am oftentimes, if I'm enslaved to anything, it's convenience. Like, mm-hmm. I will, whatever is the most convenient route, I would rather take that route, I think. And, whether that's like you're saying with food or whatever, but, the fasting thing, it's like, this is where things get really fun with Jesus. Mm-hmm. Like when it's not just Lent, so we have to, you know, but it's actually like, okay, Lord, I am experiencing this right now and at the beginning of October, and it's not exactly a fasting season for the church, but maybe I sense you inviting me into something. That's a really beautiful thing to, I think the language is voluntarily suffer, right? Mm-hmm. Like voluntary suffering where I will offer this thing for you, this fast that I'm taking up, or for whatever intention it is. And if you're lost on like what to offer up in fasting, I mean, like the state of the world, that might be too broad, but I think, you know, there's going to be a great invitation to pray for the archdiocese in the coming years and pray for, you know, everyone we know who's experiencing depression and anxiety and all these things that seem to be just on the rise, and anxiety surrounding COVID and all this stuff. Like, or maybe it's a specific conversion. Like, we have teens who are like fasting for the conversion of their family and friends, which I'm just like in awe of them.
Yeah, goosebumps.
I know it is. And it's like, you are never too young to offer something to the Lord, or too old. So that would be voluntary suffering. But then when it gets really beautiful is when what we do with our involuntary suffering. So like the things in our life that we did not choose, that we are forced to go through, whether it's the death of a loved one or this hardship with a child or, I don't know, everything. Yeah. People know what the suffering in their lives that they don't choose, but, to be able to say like, Jesus, I didn't ask for this and I know you see me in it, but, whatever you're doing here, like, I want to offer it back to you that you would be glorified through it. And that I could receive it well and bear it well and become more like you in the process of it. So I think there's a huge invitation to not be convenient, to die to ourselves and yeah, offer that. And that is totally like paving the way for simple living. But it's hard because we don't want to suffer.
No, we do not.
No.
One of Father Andrew's favorite things is he wants us all to fast for something, like for a pair. She's like, we just need to do it. We just need to jump in.
Yeah.
And that's as far as we get. But I'm like, just imagine like how many hearts we could set on fire just through like our voluntary suffering, right, of fasting from social media or, through food or buying.
Yeah. Yeah. And Father, I think I mentioned this so often because it's so profound to me, but a couple of years ago when Father Paul Hazing did the parish mission here during Advent, he was speaking about cor ad cor loquitur, which is heart speaks to heart. It was John Henry Newman's Episcopal model or something motto, I'm not sure. But so heart speaks to heart. He just spoke about encountering the Lord truly, like face to face, heart to heart, and what prayer is in the midst of that. And he spoke about penance and fasting, and he just called out, like, we as Catholics think it's all about just like doing these random things because if we put a quarter in the gumball machine, then God's going to give us a gumball. Mm-hmm. But it's like, no, it's actually orients ourselves to put to death in us what is deadly, like to our lives, you know? Because when I'm enslaved to getting the most convenient thing for dinner, it's like deadly to me. Mm-hmm. And not in the sense that like, yeah, there's so many ways to swing that, but,
no, I think it was in a sense like, ugh, I'm buying dinner for my kids again.
Yeah.
I should like be taking the time to like make a meal for them and have that family time, like sit around the table.
And you're like the desire that you have to not have to do that, like is a deadly thing in us, mm-hmm. right? Convenience again. It's like, no, nothing the Lord does is convenient. Mm-hmm. It's not, he's not into the business of convenience or efficiency. He's into the business of humans, you know, of people. Oh, sorry, Humphrey. I knocked the camel over. So yeah, putting to death in us what is deadly. And I think that's a really beautiful offering to say, like, Lord, I don't know how this is going to benefit St. Clair, or how me not eating this meal is going to aid in the conversion of my son or daughter. But, I trust you, and I trust that you, love a sacrifice of praise. And, yeah, I want to give that to you. Mm-hmm. I just think he delights in that. And,
for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we talked about how, having stuff to fill your void. Now we're going to give you a little example of maybe someone you could follow that maybe was like simple living, minimalist.
Who are you talking about?
Jesus.
Oh.
You're like, who are you going with this?
Well, I was hoping we have been speaking about Jesus, but please, yeah. I would love to hear more.
Oh, it's easy. This is all you have to do. No, I'm just kidding. I think it was just fun to look at Jesus's life and see that he was obviously the first minimalist or simple living kind of person. He wasn't born in, you know, a big castle for back in the day. He was the king of kings. He was born in a stable.
Yeah.
To think about that. And then he was the son of a carpenter and then was a humble traveler. And so there's nothing big or worldly about, you know, the jobs that his parents had or what he did with his life. He simply traveled. And then he also always relied on hospitality from others to get around, because when you're a traveler, you're not making a lot. Yeah. So just to think of his life that way that he lived, and that we're always trying to put him, we want to live more like him. So, you know, he proves that it can be done.
Yeah.
He's also very holy.
Yeah. And I don't think it's a stretch to say truly the first person. And like, we weren't alive then at that time, the time of Jesus. So did I know every person personally who has lived before him and during that time? No. So can I say he's the first? I'm not sure. But like, even I think the church fathers write about this, that like before Jesus, the idea of humility, of being humble before another person, was foreign. Like, that's a foreign concept that is introduced like by the Lord, by the God who humbles himself to become human. And so I think with this, yeah, this idea of, you know, needing hospitality from others, of trusting in the humanity of others that Shana mentioned, like, it's not just, can I trust other people? That's part of it. But it's also, am I willing to actually present a need before others? Like, am I willing to be vulnerable and share with someone my poverty, that like, hey, I don't have, I can't do dinner for my family this week. Like, we have practices and all these things. Could I just have like send this kid over to hang out with you while we take our kid to practice, our other son to practice or something, you know? And I think if anything that sort of plagues suburbia is having our stuff together. Mm-hmm. Like, we have to have our stuff together. Otherwise people will think differently of us or think we're less than. And I get a certain glimpse of this too. And I've worked at other places other than just St. Clair. So it's not just here, but we hear people that maybe need assistance, like going on a retreat or something, but they don't want anyone, to have to supplement them. Right. And, mm-hmm. and like, just to be able to say like, it's okay. Like, it's okay to have a need, you know? And like, that's what the parish is here for, to help provide for you. Right. And so I think it's no small thing that Jesus teaches us humility, the humility of coming into the world in like a farmer's stable, you mm-hmm. know, like in the side of this cave that is like seemingly insignificant. Yeah, I think there's a real invitation to live into that rather than, sort of being the quintessential 21st century American Catholic that has everything polished and the, yeah, I want people to be free of that. And, yeah. I think the Lord, that's what he's inviting us into, oftentimes is to encounter humility, poverty and humility as he did.
Yep. That always reminds me of, Alyssa's favorite Bible story, the rich young man.
That's not my favorite.
I know it's not your favorite. It hits something and you're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, it always does.
I know. It should with everyone, though.
Yeah.
Like when he asked the rich young man to give up everything and follow him, he was like, I don't think so.
Right?
I don't think so.
And I was like, how sad.
And Jesus would not have led him astray.
Yeah.
Like, give up everything. I won't take care of you.
No.
I just want to see if you'll do it.
No.
No. He'll take care of you.
Yeah. And John Paul II even points out, I talk about this so often. You're right. I do love this story. So maybe I mentioned it on here before. But John Paul II, in one of his letters to young people or one of the World Youth Day things that he's addressing, he brings up the story of the rich young man. And he just points out and highlights the fact that, I think it's in either Mark's or Luke's gospel rendition of it, but there's that added line, Jesus looked at him and loved him. Like, Jesus looked at him and loved him. And that's huge. Like, he looks at this man and looks at him with a gaze of love in this desire for, like, this young guy just to have everything that this man, this holy man is offering. Like, I want what you have. I have followed the precepts of the law and I do all these things that, like, I'm doing it, Lord. And so what do I still lack? Like, that's such a holy desire to know what it is, like how I can go deeper and go further. That's not a desire of complacency at all. But then when the Lord tells him, like, he looks at him and loves him in the midst of that, like, I've created you for great things, you know? And I think that's why he goes away sad, because it's right at his fingertips and he doesn't choose it. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to be like him.
I know.
I want to be like him in desire, but not in like the will, mm-hmm. you know?
We want to be, because he'll provide. We're not saying like, after this, go ahead, get rid of all your stuff.
No. I am. Get rid of it all.
Yeah. Maybe Alyssa is. I am not. But just making sure you're purging yourself of all the distractions that are getting in the way of seeing his love for you.
Yeah.
Just like the rich young man could not, like,
right, perceive it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And see it.
I was this time last year, well, it was August last year. I think I've told you the story before, but for our listeners, it was St. Clair's feast day. And I was like really praying about poverty and everything and all this stuff, you know, and the teens and I were planning to go out after mass to go get duck donuts. And so I was just like, Lord, I want to speak to them about poverty. Like, there's going to be a lot of young men here who are living in West County. I'm not saying they're rich, but they're provided for, you know? So I'm like, how can I bring like St. Clair's spirit and whatever this story that I've been praying with into the conversation? So I'm trying to be like casual youth minister vibes, you know, where you can't come on too strong. Otherwise you're weird and you know, they don't trust you. But, so I just casually said, what do you guys think about the rich young man? We're sitting at Duck Donuts. And what do you guys think about the rich young man? And I'm just like trying to bring him there. And first thing out of one of the, it was actually one of my female core members who was with me. First thing out of her mouth, I don't know. I'm looking for one. I was like, Nikki,
I'm
trying to have a moment and you made it about your search for a young Catholic rich man. Like, this is not it, but it was so funny. And it like, it was totally of the Lord, because it like,
it broke the
ice. Yeah. And we actually had really good conversation about, you know, pursuing poverty in high school. But anyways, I digress.
I love it. You got to make your prayers specific.
That's right.
She was making it very specific for sure.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else to add?
Yeah, I think there's the only other thing I was thinking about. And Shana touched on this, not really liking the word minimalism. I do like that word because I think it is what it says it is, you know, like I will live a minimal spirit, you know, but I think secularly speaking, like if you look up minimalism and everything, it really is about efficiency and being aesthetic and being clean and all those things. And not that we're not also striving for that, like to live simply, but I think living simply sort of connotates the simplicity of the gospel. And whereas minimalism, I think, has this sort of look at me. It's like that underlying layer of vanity that's still like, I'm living with less and this is the best way to live and all those things. So I encourage you guys, like if you're like, I just have so much clutter. I mean, we were listening to a talk one time And the sister who was speaking said to us, like, I bet if I walked into your bedrooms right now, I would be able to tell you what's going on in your spiritual life just by the environment in which we live, you know? And it was the truest thing I thought about. And I was like, I have clothes all over my bedroom floor right now, you know? She like totally called me out on it. So yeah, just like, what is it actually to live simply according to the gospel and what Jesus requires of us, and to not, be vain versus just living with nothing because the aesthetic of it, you know?
Cause it looks so pretty.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Or both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I also have a book recommendation, but I'll let you say closing things.
Oh, I was just going to tell everyone loves a good challenge. So yeah. I say after listening to this, challenge yourself to either fast from something mm-hmm. for a good amount of time, more than just like 3 days.
Yeah.
Try it for 30. 30 always seems to be a good amount of time. Or take the next couple of weeks to start like decluttering.
Mm-hmm.
And cause sometimes you just need somebody to tell you to do something and you're like, oh, yep, gonna do it.
Yeah.
Gonna do it. But then as you're doing that, if you're fasting or you're decluttering, just think about all that extra time you're going to have to spend in his presence.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're fasting and you feel a pang like of hunger or needing to look through social media, just think about someone that needs your prayer right now and who he's putting on your heart.
Right. Yeah. I would second that by saying whenever we take something out, whenever we remove something from our lives or literally like from our heart, you know, things that we're attached to, we should always be supplementing with something. So whatever you're replacing, whatever you're taking out in terms of a fast, maybe you're spending 15 minutes like chewing on the word of God each day, mm-hmm. or maybe you're taking up the rosary or something new, you know, just a challenge to grow in holiness as you, because we're not just like masochists, like we're not just looking for pain and all those things. It's like, no, I want to put to death the deadly and replace it with something that gives me life.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I second that.
Or reading a good spiritual book if you're like fasting from social media. Yeah. And I think Alyssa has a good book.
She wants to say. Sure, I do. Yeah. So this book is sort of making its way. It's like wrecking my friend group right now. It's
in a good way?
In a good way, okay. But in a way that's like, I have had it since December and I haven't opened it up yet because I'm afraid. but it's Thomas Dubé's Happy Are You Poor? And it lives out, or it sort of walks you through what gospel poverty actually looks like in every state in life. So it will touch on like the Evangelical Council of Poverty and what poverty looks like for religious orders or for someone who's taken the vow of poverty or for like diocesan priests, right? Who haven't taken religious vows, but they're also not supposed to be of the world either, you know? But then it also talks about like as laity, what our role, what it looks like for us to live gospel poverty. And it's pretty convicting. And it's sort of like it'll pack a punch. So, that's an invitation. Thomas Dubé's Happy Are You Poor?
Nice.
Let me know how it is.
We'll get you there.
No, I've read enough of it to stop reading it because it wasn't the time. So, I do recommend it, but, I wasn't lying when I said I'm on the journey too. Mm-hmm. So
yeah. Awesome. I like it that you actually stop reading it.
Yeah.
Like that's good. I've been like, I'm just gonna pull through it. You're like, nope, now it's not the time for me to read this.
Right.
I'm gonna stop here.
Yeah.
Bring it back.
Yeah.
Very nice, lady.
Nice.
All right. Well, this was wonderful.
Yes.
And go out and start fasting or decluttering.
See you soon.
Bye.